Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton, Scott Eckersley, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Tom Crawford will be back with us here in just a moment. And Dave, a lot of prep football action last night, more today. We've got some games involving area teams here, and Williamston's had an amazing season, 10-1, losing only an unbelievable finish against Lansing Catholic. They are at Marine City, a game that is going to be very competitive. I could see the Hornets prevailing there. And moving on here, you know, you're at a stage where now it's high cotton, as Hayden Fry used to say. There aren't many teams left. You start with 256, and you start chopping it down, and now you're at a point where if you are still playing next weekend, you can really look at the season and
say you had a big-time success.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Ithaca, team that a lot of people think going to win the championship in Division VI, up your way toward Mount Pleasant.
I pass them every single week.
So the Yellow Jackets having another great season, most high-powered offenses you will find anywhere, 11-0 playing Montrose. And that is tonight at Kelly Short Stadium.
How do you feel about Saturday playoff games in high school?
I don't like them. I know why they have them. They say, hey.
From a strategic standpoint, then? Or
well, a lot of it has to do with weather. Now, this one doesn't make any sense because it's a 7 p.m. game.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to have it a field and a stadium they know is going to be quality. They don't want to risk the elements, but, you know, we've had such unbelievable weather this
year.
It's
been warm.
It's been really warm.
I mean, it was a low of like 50 last night.
Right, right.
I don't know if I like that. That's a part of football, especially in Michigan, is the elements. That's why you play in the fall, is because that becomes part of the game, is adjusting to the elements.
Right.
And I just, Friday is high school football.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
I don't like having high school football on Saturdays where you're competing with college football.
Right.
And you're just, it takes away from the vibe, I think, of high school playoff football.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we've got college football on Fridays.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got college football almost every night now, it seems. You Wednesday, Thursday, you know, I've seen Tuesday. Haven't had it on Monday, but that's only because of Monday night football.
No, they have Monday games every once in a while, though. The MAC every once in a while will play on a Monday night. Yeah. I remember last year, I think Bowling Green and Miami, Ohio played on a Monday night.
Wow.
The MAC will play wherever ESPN wants them to play.
Yeah.
They just want that
TV money.
Tell us when
to show up and turn the camera on.
Exactly. Exactly.
We also have Olivet, 9-2, at Ann Arbor. Gabriel Richard, 10-1. That would be an upset for the Eagles today, if they can win that one. And maybe the team I find most interesting from the area in the playoffs. Fulton started the season 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
And lost its league by 3 games. Then turned around and beat the league champs, Fowler. And then knocked out New Lothrop, which was undefeated. So they have beaten 2 undefeated teams. And at 7-4, here are the Pirates again. And just where they've been so often. A couple of games last night that we want to talk about. And season ends for Lansing Sexton. Terrific effort, a lot of injuries. And this was a game that not having Anijah Miller 100% finally maybe did the Big Reds in. They lost 35-28 to Edwardsburg. And the quick trap, as I understand from some people who were at the game, I was not, was just too much. Dan Bogan said, just too bad it had to end this way, thinking of a state championship. Really thought they would be at Ford Field and seemed to have the team that could do that. But Miller having some big games, he had 174 yards in a win over Vicksburg in the playoffs.
And this is the point in the season, too, where you really need – depth is great during the regular season, things of that nature. But when you get into this deep into the playoffs, you need your best players at 100% healthy.
Well, how about this for a backup? Dominique Hoyle, the guy who came in and scored the 6 touchdowns in a game in a backup role last night.
That's not
too bad. 199 yards on 21 carries and 2 touchdowns as a backup.
That's pretty solid.
So Sexton did a lot of things right, and but hey, fumbled a squib kick to start the game, and put him in a hole right there. You know, whenever you're behind like that right out of the chute, it's a body blow, and Sexton bounced back, but just could not quite deliver the final punch, and eventually lost that game to Edwardsburg. But how about the DeWitt Panthers? Now, this is seven times in 10 years the Panthers have made the semifinals.
That's got to be a testament to the coaches, too, because at that point you're talking about a lot of turnover of kids. And so for a school like DeWitt to continue to push out kids that are this good, that's a testament to the coaches.
Well, they brought out the Michigan playbook. You know, they used to have Michigan helmets. But they brought out the Michigan playbook this time in 45-41. DeWitt's defense has been very good of late, but had given up points early in the year. No one has stopped DeWitt. And DeWitt's one of those teams, Dave, that can score in four plays.
I remember seeing them last year. I haven't seen them play this year, but their offense for a high school offense is so complex, and there's so many assignments that a defense has to pay attention to, that all it takes is one misstep in the wrong direction before realizing who you're supposed to be covering for them to score a touchdown on you. It's just, it's a very complex offense to stop.
The passing game would drive most high school defensive coordinators dizzy. But they have a running back in Nathaniel Deek who has thighs like cheerleaders' waists. I mean, they are just incredible, and he just pounds up the middle for short yardage and breaks a few here and there. Very, very difficult to stop, and that gives them another dimension. 45-41, and the Panthers last year thought they could get it done and then ran into that buzzsaw in Orchard Lake St. Mary. That game was over before it began, and here they are in a situation again. You know, they may have earned another chance at Orchard Lake St. Mary at 11-1. They could play Orchard Lake St. Mary or Redford Thurston, and those teams meet today in the opposite side of the bracket. So it could be a rematch of last year's game, a chance for Rob Zimmerman's team to exact a little revenge at just the right time.
Now, where would that game be at?
That would be a neutral site.
I was about to say, are we at neutral sites at this point?
We're to that point now. And last night we had the last of the home games, or today we would in some cases. So
gotcha.
Panthers, a very, very exciting team, and we haven't had a lot of champions here. We've had some really good football. We've had a lot of teams that have been great representatives, but we haven't had champions. You have to go back a ways. You have to go back to Grand Ledge, really winning that title. You're talking a decade. Mm-hmm. So. It's been a dearth that way. And it's funny because Mid-Michigan has been so good in prep basketball.
Well, I mean, you know what? Different sports are going to have different talents. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's a regional thing of what kids play in what areas. For example, in the Metro Detroit area, you know, there's so many good club soccer teams and things out there. You're talking all the great soccer teams in high school. You're talking Novi, Northville, Livonia Churchill, Livonia Stevenson. All those schools out there are in the Metro Detroit area because that's where a lot of the big club soccer is.
Right.
And I think a lot of great basketball is played out here, so that's the talent out here. So I think it really divides up from sport to sport depending on what your region really does well as kids are growing up.
Right. I can see that. 393-3700, 393-3700. The number to call. And next week, we're going to have four more tickets to give away for Michigan State football. We'll have an opportunity for fans to see that Senior Day matchup with Purdue, Michigan State coming off the bye week, and see if it can regroup and make the most of an opportunity here, a rare opportunity to win 10 games for just the third time in school history.
And when you think about it, just thinking about how before the season started, everybody thought they'd be 7-5, 8-4. And now we're talking about a team that could win 10 games, maybe 11, who knows. Really, people, I think, in general need to check into that and say, wow, this has been a really successful season. I mean, they beat Purdue. It doesn't really matter what happens the game after that and in the bowl game. It's been a successful season. It's a step in the right direction for Michigan State football. They've got a lot of good recruits that keep coming in, so this team's going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you have to look at what you can control in life, certainly in football. Michigan State cannot control whether it goes to the Rose Bowl at this point. That is out of its control. But it can control whether it's a Big Ten champion.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen a lot around here. Michigan State has not shared the Big Ten title since 1990. So that's going back 20 years, and Michigan State is in position. I would be stunned if the Spartans didn't play well next week against Purdue. Purdue is banged up.
Oh, they'll be fine. You get a bye week like that, you play a team that is probably going to get ripped up pretty badly on defense this week against Michigan.
Yeah.
They're not going to be prepared, as well prepared as Michigan State is for that game. Yeah. And I think it's a good thing that Michigan State has this bye, because now they're not looking too far ahead to Penn State at this point.
Yeah.
They've got that bye week to focus on Purdue, and it keeps them focused rather than when you have 1 week and then the next week where you may be saying, okay, well, we got 6 days until this game, but then we got the big game against Penn State. So I think that really will help channel what they're focusing on.
Yeah. There used to be the idea of minding your P's and Q's. You don't hear that much anymore, but the P's in this case for Michigan State are Purdue and Penn State. And if they take care of business there, then everything else will fall in line, and whether they wind up playing in the Rose Bowl against Boise State or whether they wind up playing against maybe a South Carolina or a Florida in
the Capital One Bowl,
they can't control that.
No.
That's out of their hands.
There's nothing wrong with going to the Capital One Bowl. There's nothing wrong. It's a fantastic bowl.
No.
A lot of people think it's the best bowl outside of the BCS bowls.
Yeah, that could be. I think
it's right up there with the Cotton Bowl. Trying to think what else might compare to it. But it's definitely, it's a high-class bowl.
And the Cotton Bowl used to be big, big bowl.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the original big bowls, along with the Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl, and Rose Bowl. And then the Fiesta Bowl kind of nosed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And really passed the Cotton Bowl. The Cotton Bowl had some funky weather, and the stadium got decrepit. And, you know, now you've got so many new games. You've got games in Texas like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of thought that the University of Michigan has positioned itself to get to one of those Texas games. You know, they're going to play Alabama in Jerry World in 2012, and there's a lot of talk that they could play maybe a Oklahoma or a Texas in a game like that this year. So that would be a marquee game for television.
It would be an interesting matchup. They'd be able to sell it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, yeah. High-profile schools and a very exciting game. I'd like to see Oklahoma play Michigan with Denard Robinson, see what would happen.
What would be the final score of that game? Neither team can stop anybody.
Yeah.
Neither team can stop scoring.
How about Texas? They can't stop anybody.
No,
either.
They can't. Well, it depends on the week. They are a Jekyll and Hyde type team this year.
Yeah. Of all of the scores that made me rub my eyes and think, okay, I had a little too much fun last night, Texas UCLA early in the season
was the
first one that I said, okay, I got to get my eyes checked.
Well, at that point, we thought Texas was a top 10 team.
Yeah.
And so to see them lose to UCLA, who the week before, I forgot who they lost to, but they had lost to somebody not very good the week before.
Right.
So now you're talking about a team that, and then they roll into Texas and beat Texas.
Amazing. It's fun, and every week counts in college football. That's one of the things I love about it, and one of the things I hate about college basketball. There aren't a lot of things I don't like about college basketball, but so often now people are saying, come and check with me at the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
So the regular season does not matter nearly as much. We will be right back. 393-3700, 393-3700. Tom Crawford will be joining us again by phone on his way to Saginaw. We'll be right back. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton, Scott Eckersley, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.